Yeah, it's good. Can you please talk about Muharram, the importance of Ashura, as well as the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein in this day? You know, there's a few things. First of all, we should fast on Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe. Okay. Wednesday and Thursday, thank you. I'm on the road, so maybe where I was, it was Tuesday and Wednesday, or I probably just made a mistake, as I always do. So the importance of Muharram and also the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, that nowadays as Muslims we're being oppressed. And we are facing oppression. And most of the Muslims are too scared to speak up. Okay, I'm not talking about our leaders, I'm talking about us. SubhanAllah, you can find people who practice lifestyles which are so far away from Islam, going and rallying in the middle of places for us. And if you saw these people, you say, man, these people, they are the antithesis of Islam. But yet they are brave enough to go and hold up signs and say, this is wrong, and da-da-da-da-da, and da-da. And what we doing? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, man, you got the new code for Metal Gear Solid 2? Or the sister with the, hi, whatever, the shadow guy, you know. And this is what we're doing. We're doing this, and these people who are not Muslims, who live lives which are completely the antithesis of our religion, are standing up for us. So one lesson we take from the martyrdom of Hussein, radiallahu anhu, is to stand up against oppression. It's very important. Also, how many of you know that this is the time that the Islamic calendar begins in Muharram? Why did they choose Muharram to be the beginning of the Islamic calendar? Who knows? No. It coincides with something that happened the same year, not the same date, that was very important in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, the Hijrah. And the Hijrah also is symbolic of a stance against oppression. Nowadays as Muslims, legally, because I'm sure there are people here who are taping me because they are getting paid to, and probably getting a green card as well. And we ask Allah to give you a green card, inshallah. And your white picket fence. And your white wife. Those people, I'm white so I can say that, alright? And my daughter's not available. But it's time as Muslims that we put a stop to this. You guys went to MSA West? Remember that guy? You picked up, this guy had a tape recorder, man. He was taping the Muslims. Okay, SubhanAllah, we don't mind. If you want to come put the tape right here, ain't nobody got nothing to hide, man. Okay? So, we need to stand up, and very similar to what our African-American brothers went through in the 60s, we need to demand our rights, man. We need to demand that the Muslims' rights are respected. They're getting ready to pass the Patriot Act, too. The Patriot, you know, Terminator 1, Terminator 2? Now they got Patriot 2. Patriot Act 2 ain't no joke, man. Patriot Act 2, they can take away your citizenship if you are suspected of terrorism. Not proven. Not taken to the court of law. Not a trial. That's it. And we are... We're doing that. So from the month of Muharram, we take also the martyrdom of the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, who the Prophet said that Hussein and Hassan radiallahu anhuma are the leaders of the Shabab in paradise. They are the leaders of the youth in paradise. Okay? The other question. This weekend I was visiting some elders. My aunt told me to kiss the hands. She explained, this is cultural. Is this Islamically appropriate? There is some difference by the scholars on the issue of kissing the hands. In fact, our brothers from the Salafi madhab and our brothers from the Mutasawwif madhab, they are engaged in a constant, unfortunate fight over the validity of kissing the hand of a scholar. If you go to the Sahih of someone who's older than you, you go to the Sahih of Bukhari, he has a chapter, I don't know where it is, on kissing the hand of the ulama. This is Imam Bukhari. If Imam Bukhari thought it was okay to kiss the hand of an alim, who am I to disagree with him, man? This is the Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Hadith. Also, your father or your mother or your elders, it's good, yani, to kiss their hand. It's nothing, inshallah, wrong with this. Why? This is respect. But if you're kissing their hand and then they feeling like, check yourself. Also, we should kiss the hand of older ulama. And a sister, she should not kiss the hand of a man scholar. Sometimes people made this mistake. This is wrong. And also, when you kiss it, don't be all, right? Just, all right, and move on. Okay? Some people, they just, like, you remember the old Big Red commercial? Just keep kissing for hours. Right? Just break away, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get your barakah. So you can kiss the hand of scholar, but it's recommended that you kiss the hand of an old sheikh, not a young person. Because you kiss the hand of like a young cat, you might put him in danger. He'd be like, man, cats was kissing my hand at night. I'm saying, yeah. But the old man, he might say, I'm old. See why? He say, because I'm old, so people is respecting me. Because I'm old. You give him that outlet to save himself from riya. Okay? No problem, inshallah. But if also, sister, if they're asking you to, or brother, if they're asking you to kiss, like, for example, someone that you can marry, right? You shouldn't kiss their hand. Right? But if they ask you to kiss someone that you are not allowed to marry, like your brother or your uncle or your dad or grandpa, that's okay. But not, you know, gym dog from across the street or something. Don't kiss his hand. Allahu a'lam. Some more. Okay, I got those two. Got that one. If you are a sister, do you have to marry a brother who is a Muslim? Yes. Maybe someone says, why? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the woman to marry Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the brother permission to marry people from the book. But, brothers, there are some conditions. And unfortunately, nobody keeps these conditions in mind. The first one is she should be a virgin. There went 95% of the population. The second one is she should be decent, of decent morals. Okay? The third is if she was not a virgin and she repented, then it would be okay. No problem if she was married before. But if, when you meet her, and usually, unfortunately, where do brothers meet these women? Hey, how you doing? My name's Mo. Oh, Cindy, how you doing, Cindy? What's your number, Cindy? Right. Our brothers can't dance anyways, but they be trying to get it going, right? He's out there doing the Baluchi dance, and he's in the middle of the club, man. Nobody do the Baluchi dance here, right? So he's talking to her in the club, and they dancing, and you know, then, so this is where you met her, so put two and two together. Okay, so she should be a repentant Zania, if she was a Zania, someone who committed adultery or fornication, and she should have been that way for a while. Okay? Secondly, morally she should be sound. Even if she's a Christian or Jew, her morals should be sound. The third one is that she should... Also, in her aqidah, as a Christian or Jew, she should be pure. What do we mean is that even in this aqidah, which is not acceptable Islamically, she should be practicing her faith. It's very important. Also, there was another one. Yeah. How many sisters need husbands? So many. So why are we wearing that? Why are we marrying non-Muslims? In fact, many of our sisters are asking this type of question. Why? Because they can't get married to Muslim guys. A lot of it has to do with parents, okay? A lot of it has to do with cultural baggage, but also a lot of it has to do with, I know when I was in Oklahoma City, we had a lot of guys marrying non-Muslim girls, okay? Also, some ulama said now it is haram, although this opinion is kind of extreme. Why? They said because of the children, that in most of these relationships between a guy and a non-Muslim woman, she usually gets the kids, and it becomes a problem later on. And I tell you honestly, when I was imam before, I never saw it work. From young to old, I never saw it work. Just because there were so many differences. And we had like so many sisters in that community. I was like, dude, marry this sister, approach her family. And don't, why are you going this way? Go that way. Okay? The other thing is for the girl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, it's an order from him. And there's a lot of quote-unquote hikmah and wisdom, but I don't really like to go that way. One of the hikmah they said is, if you marry a non-Muslim man, quite possibly he could make you to become a non-Muslim as well as your kids, and that would be detrimental to your existence in the hereafter. And anything that's detrimental to your existence in the hereafter has to be guarded and protected. That's why some scholars said now that it's makruh, not haram, for a Muslim to marry a non-Muslim girl. Wallahu a'lam. Also, a false argument that many people say is that now Christians are polytheists. Because why? They said God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Therefore, they're polytheists, so you can't marry them. This is not correct. Because even in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized that they worship three gods. And still he said that you could marry them. Wallahu a'lam. Since makeup and hair dye is not permanent, is using it haram a sin? For the sister, most of the scholars said, yeah, you shouldn't use any type of makeup. Unless, for example, somebody had like a physical defect, you know? Some type of permanent physical problem. Even plastic surgery. You know, many people say, plastic surgery is haram! Then the person who doesn't know that much about Islam or is not practicing, they're listening in the audience, they say, man, this has no, this guy's stupid. What about somebody that got hit by a bus and their face, you know, their skeletal muscles in their face were smashed? Islam will not allow them to have plastic surgery? Of course. So somebody that has some type of physical problem or sometimes skin disease, inshallah, they can use makeup. But in general, no, our sisters, they shouldn't be wearing makeup. And our brothers too, which is happening now. Hair dye. Actually, hair dye is permissible for the man, henna. You know henna? When the man's hair becomes gray, he can use henna to dye his hair. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, but it doesn't mean now you go and, like, you know, that skunk thing guys got working now. Don't get away. Can repenting make up for all sins such as murder, gambling, etc.? SubhanAllah, one time a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as related by Hakim, and this is a sound chain of narration. And he said to him, oh, Messenger of Allah. He didn't say, oh, Messenger of Allah. He said, yo, Muhammad, what's up? He was not a Muslim. So he's like, yo, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I'm a man who has sinned so much that, subhanAllah, if you took all my sins, it would be sufficient for all of humanity's sins. He said, I did all kind of bad things. And then he said, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me if I repent? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing. Was quiet. Then they came. Then he said, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Qul ya ibadiy alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. You know, subhanAllah, what the Prophet said about this verse? He said, this verse is more beloved to me than everything in the dunya. He said, if you took everything in this world, this verse would be more beloved to me than that. What about us, right? Today I was riding with a brother. I saw the new BMW. I said, man, that car is nice. And subhanAllah, the brother checked me. He said, yeah, it's just some metal. I said, okay. You got me. Huh? I'm going to get to it. I'm doing that on purpose. I want you to. I want you to want it. Then I give it to you. So the man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said that. The Prophet was quiet. Then he said, say. The verse says, in the 39th chapter of the Quran, I don't have a verse number. Surah Al-Zumar. Say, O my servants who have wronged yourself with sin. And this la is called lamul amr. Lamul nahi, sorry. We have different type of no in Arabic, okay? This no, it means you are forbidden. It's haram. So he said, لا تقنطوا, تقنطوا من أفعال الخمسة. تقنطونا. ولكن we canceled the noon because of that lamb. لا تقنطوا means you are forbidden. It is haram to give up on something. On what? The mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram to despair of His mercy. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah, He forgives the sins. And in this verse, we have something called tawqid. I'm not trying to teach you grammar, but I'm just telling you so you can say, wow, this is cool. The first, he said, inna. This is tawqid. Tawqid means emphasize, like, surely. You know, you read Yusuf Ali all the time, surely, surely, surely. This is tawqid. إِنَّ اللَّهَ. Indeed, Allah, يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ. He forgives the sins. Jami'a, again, is emphasis. Every one of them. That's how it should be translated. Indeed, Allah forgives the sins, every sin. Innahu, again tawqid. Indeed, He is al-ghafur. Ghafur, ghafara mean to hide something. So He's going to hide your sin. Innahu huwa al-ghafur, the forgiven, al-rahim, the merciful. Then that guy, he became Muslim. We have, inshallah, not next week, I think, no, the week after, we have the tafsir of Fatiha and its effect on the sinner. What I'm going to take from Al-Fatiha, if I'm struggling, all of us is struggling. You can't say Muslim's not struggling. Every Muslim's struggling. That's why their name is Muslim. We're not Ahlul Jannah yet. So I don't want to go into too much detail about forgiveness. But inshallah, in 2 weeks, we'll hook it up. But indeed, Allah, He forgive every sin. Maybe someone says, but I thought Allah doesn't forgive shirk. I thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive associating partners. If somebody died and they committed shirk and they did not seek repentance, then it's a promise they'll not be forgiven. But if you seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promised you in the Quran, He will forgive you. You know one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there's a guy, maybe someone says, I sin, then I stop, I do it again. I sin, I stop for a while, I do it again. I sin, I stop for a while, I do it again. Welcome to being a human being. The imam have this problem, the sheikh have this problem, everyone have this problem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari, there's a guy, and subhanAllah, he committed a sin. Then he sought Allah's forgiveness. And Gloria Stein, she has not destroyed the Arabic language. When the Prophet said guy, he means girl. We have CK1 yani in Arabic. Trans, you know, you can use any gender, it means the same. So the Prophet said, there's a guy, he sinned, then he sought Allah's forgiveness. And Allah says to the angels, Unzur ila abdi. Look at my servant who believe in me and seeks my forgiveness. I forgive him. Then the Prophet said he will do it again because he's weak. We don't mean somebody who repents, right? Like, I swear, I'm sorry, I won't go to the club. And then their heart, like, tonight at 10, it's going to be all right. This is not repentance. This is not repentance. But somebody that's really in themselves said, I'm going to stop. But then because they're weak, you know, they sin again. It's different. So this guy, he makes a mistake. Then again, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. And then Allah, the second time, Allah says, Undur ila abdi. Look at my slave who believes in me and seeks my forgiveness. I forgive him. Then he will do it again. Then I'll say, Unzur ila abdi. Look at my slave who sinned, I forgive him. And the hadith keep going and going and going and going and going. So you should never ever. And you have to know, like we say, how come we hear from the pulpit, drinking is haram, zina is haram, killing is haram, drugs is haram. How come we don't hear, giving up on Allah's mercy is haram? It's haram. Okay, we have some questions, but it's been too long. You want to answer the questions or you want to bounce? If you need to bounce, you can go. Okay? If you need to go, go. Don't feel like, oh man, he's going to think I'm not... I don't care about that. I mean, if you need to go, go. Who am I? I'm nobody. The other question. Yeah, the one about the high school girls, I'll give you email. You can contact us. What role should parents play in the marriage? Everybody, come back. What role should the parents play in the marriage? Okay, this is a good question. What role should the parents play in the marriage? We let the people go and then we'll answer the question. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair, Habibi. Let's ask for dua, inshallah. Hey, thanks for coming out, man. Appreciate you being here. Sorry about sometimes the language and stuff. I hope you was following along. Every Monday night, man. Come on through. All right. All right, are we ready to get down? What role should parents play in the marriage? First of all, what role should parents play in your life? You go to Sultan Yusuf, and Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, Inni ra'aytu. I saw in my dream, Ahada ashara kawkaban wa shams wal qamar. I saw in my dream when Yusuf was telling his dad Yaqub, I saw in my dream 11 stars and the sun and the moon, and they was making sujood to me. We know the 11 stars is who? His brothers. But who's the sun and the moon? Is his parents. So subhanAllah, the importance of your parents in your life is like the importance of the sun and the moon in this universe. We could not survive without the sun, nor can we survive without the moon. Okay? Man, you gotta get out of here, man. I live far away. It's all good. My time is your time. Don't even worry. Okay, I can stay till Fajr. Don't worry about it. Okay? Just make sure you study. So your parents are like the sun and the moon in your life. Now, when it comes to marriage, your parents, they have some rights on you, first of all, in general. The first is the right, not in marriage, in general, of good treatment. You should be good to them. You know, you shouldn't say, oof. Everybody knows the verse in Quran. وَلَا تَقُول لَهُمَا oof. Don't even say to them, oof. Oof means like, in English or in Urdu. Okay? But in English means, if you're from Khalij, also, okay? Don't do that. It's not easy. Okay? It's not easy. In fact, one scholar, he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew of a word that was more minute than oof, he would have said it. The second thing is, we should never belittle them or make fun of them. In front of them or behind their back. Because that's your honor, your parents. The third is, we should seek their advice because their advice has a barakah. And if the advice is good Islamically, we should accept it. Okay, imagine. Did you guys have midterms yet? Oh, that's why you're so happy, right? But imagine you got some break. And you went home and your father came home and he was like, Beti or Bata, I want to talk to you. Ya Abni, come here. I want to talk to you. Ya Binti, Ta'ali. So you said, okay. And you saw him with a big chainsaw. And he said, can you come out back for a minute? You're like, I got all A's, man. What's up? Right? No, I just need to talk to you. So then you go out and he says, you know what happened? I just had a dream. And in this dream, I had to slaughter you. What do you think? Then you would have said, thank you. There's no way you can do this. But look at Ismail, as our brother, he caught the story. When Ismail alayhi salam, his father told him, Inni, I saw in my dream, an adbahuka, I'm going to slaughter you. Fanzur madha tara, what you think about it. Also noticed that Ibrahim, he talks with his kids. Many parents say, I'm not going to ask my kids what they think. This is disrespecting my culture. But look at Ibrahim. Even he knows that this dream is revelation because the prophet's dreams is revelation. Still he asks his son, what do you think about it? Because many of us, we feel we can't talk to our parents. And I'll be beating them up at MCA about it, man. And I give this one khutbah, I beat them chachas and chachis up, man. And afterwards they tried to kill me in the parking lot. They started surrounding me. They was like, Brother Suhaib, you don't understand. I was like, hey, man. There was one guy told me, you don't have great hair, brother. I said, look, I can find one if you like. But it's just not visible. And he's like, your daughter, this is crazy. He's like, your daughter's only 19 months old. I was like, how do you know? Hey, man, what you doing with my daughter, man? I know about my daughter. But subhanAllah, they got really upset about it. Because I was hit, you know, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, we was like Tyson in the 80s. We were just hitting them, man. Boom, boom. You don't listen to your kids. You don't talk with your kids. Look at the Quran. Yaqub and Yusuf. This is a conversation, man. If you can't talk to your parents, who are you going to talk to? And now the chat room is right there. If you don't feel you can talk to anyone in the world but your parents, you're in trouble. And parents got to engage their children in conversation. And their young adults, male and female, in conversation. And even the older adults in conversation. And listen to what they have to say. So why I'm telling you is because when you become parents, you remember the lesson. Ibrahim, he has a dream. He's supposed to slaughter his son. Still he asks his son, what do you think about it? What was his response? Ya qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. Oh, my daddy, do it. It's obedience to parents. So if our parents give us advice to do something right, we should take it. In marriage, the fuqaha said, do your parents have the right to force you to marry someone? No, they don't. Can you kindly refuse? Yes, you can. Is this refusal recognized by Sharia? Yes. The opposite. You come home one day, like we said before, you said, Alhamdulillah, I decided I want to get married. They said, oh, mashallah, you can marry anyone in the world as long as it's your cousin. You say, well, Jazakallah khair, I really like my cousin. Alhamdulillah, we grew up together. We used to play in the same sandbox and everything. But it's just not my type of hype. Right? But I have someone else, Mr. Muhammad or Sister Fatima, and I go to college, and mashallah, they're going to be some type of big thing that you guys will be proud of. And by the way, they wear hijab, and they pray, and alhamdulillah, they're good Muslims, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they said no. If they're saying no, leads you to zina, marry. If they're saying no, it's going to force you to sleep with this person. وَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ And it's happening right now. Right in this city. Marry. Because your deen took precedence. But try to do it in a way that you don't destroy your family. If they're saying no, and you forcing the yes is going to destroy your relationship with your parents, and you're not going to fall into zina, listen to your parents. Why? How many husbands can you find? It's like a million of men, right? How many wives can you find? So many different girls, right? But how many parents can you find? So it depends. If you feel you're going to commit haram, and you're going to fall into something which Allah has forbidden you from, you should marry. If you're not, it's just a passing fancy, give us some time. You don't have to get married right then. Like shaitan, 10 years. Don't wait 10 years. But you can say, okay, I'll give it 6 months. Then over 6 months, you try to slowly, you know, convince your parents. You know, mashallah, Abdul got a 3.9. MashaAllah, Sister Shismu Juwariya, you know, alhamdulillah, she's on the deen's honor roll. Ding, 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 you know. Try to drop little hands, right? And the most important thing you can do in marriage is two things. Is dua and don't disobey Allah. Many of us, we disobey Allah thinking about the marriage. There's another one. I have a friend who is not a Muslim and not a person of the book. A Muslim guy expressed his feelings to her and expressed to her his... to Islam. Do you mean, well, I guess you're not going to say it out loud. I guess he said he's a Muslim to her. She recently took Shahada, mashallah. Yet, what is wrong for the Muslim guy to befriend her, express his feelings despite her becoming Muslim? Okay. I have a friend who is not Muslim and not a person of the book. I've been on the road, so I'm really tired. It's not your writing, it's my messed up dyslexic brain. I have a friend who is not Muslim and not a person of the book. A Muslim guy expressed his feelings to her and exposed her to Islam. She recently took Shahada, mashallah, yet was it wrong for the Muslim guy to befriend her, express his feelings, etc., despite her becoming Muslim? If what the person is saying is that this guy, as a Muslim, he met this non-Muslim girl and they had some emotional attachment, and by this emotional attachment she became Muslim, and he's going to marry her, we said it was good and bad. We don't say everything bad, everything good. It's good she became Muslim. Brother or sister on campus. This used to happen to us. In fact, I remember there were some organizations that used to send beautiful girls to our MSA to knock off our brothers. I'm not joking. They used to try to, like I remember, like, they would not deal with me because I became Muslim. So they were like, oh, he already switched once. He ain't going to switch twice. But they would go to like our brothers. I remember I used to watch this, man. And they would come to the booth and they'd be like, would you like to come over to my house and study religion? I'm serious. And these brothers were like, they just landed over here. And they'd never seen a woman like that before. And they were like, ah. And I was like, no! He would not like to come to your house and study religion. So take your religion and go to the vending machines or something, right? And these ladies, I remember really, and we used to, at first we thought, you know, like we're just having a bad feeling about them. But we noticed like the whole years that we were there, because we had Islamic Awareness Month, mashallah, in Oklahoma, man, it was awesome. So for the whole month, you know, we was doing our thing, and for the whole month, we called them the butterflies, man. They would be floating around us, right? Would you like to come to my house and study religion? No, he don't want to come to your house and study no religion with you. Okay, and then they would say, and then they would try to avoid me. And they'd go to him and they'd be like, can I have your email address? Can I have your phone number? Can you call me sometime? I was like, man, these chicks is macking on y'all cats, man. And they were like, no, brother. Come on, brother. I was like, Akhi, I hate to tell you why I know this, but I know this. Okay, before Islam. So it was happening, right? So what happens? You're on campus. You go to school. You meet a guy. And he asks you, you know, why are you dressed like that? Why is your name Nasira? Why do you have this name? So then you say, because I'm Muslim. And then he says, what's Islam? You shouldn't say, Astaghfirullah, I can't talk to you. It's a great religion, but I can't talk to you. Okay? Talk to the guy, man. Tell him, you know, I'm Muslim. This is what we believe. We have these tenets of faith. We have an MSA. And by the way, if you're further interested, here's the email of a brother. That's it. You did your job. Same with you. Because Shaitan gets you with the dawah whisper. Like, dawah, brother, don't worry about it, man. It's dawah, man. Don't you want to go to paradise? You know? You're not going to say no, right? So you're like, yeah, I do want to go to paradise. And hey, speaking of paradise, so, right? So the brother, a sister comes to you, a non-Muslim woman. She's very nice. And she says, you know, Abdul, how you doing, Abdul? I've been noticing you in class lately. And I want to know, why is your name Abdul? Then Abdul says, you know, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah. And then she says, what's Islam? He says, this is Islam. And then she says, you know, I'd like to learn more about this religion. What we used to do with MSA is we used to have a sister, and we would either have cards, you know, professional business cards with an MSA email that you can just email any question to, or we would know of a sister in our MSA who could handle this. And usually don't give out your private information, like your private phone number or private email. Have just an like MSA women, you know, at Berkeley or whatever, right? And then we say, okay, you know, since you're really interested in Islam, you know, alhamdulillah, I think since you're a woman, you would really enjoy talking with another woman, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Then there you go. Okay. So the way that this transpired is not very good. Alhamdulillah, we hope that they get married. That would be wonderful if they get married, right? But if he expressed his feelings for her, it's normal to love someone. But what's abnormal is how we show our love for each other, right? I remember when I was an elementary school teacher in a Muslim school, this little boy came to me and he said, and I had another sister named Haneen. I can say her name. I ain't going to say his name. Haneen was from Jordan, right? So Haneen, mashallah, was a very nice girl. Alhamdulillah, I memorized Quran and she was very good. And he came to me and he was my student. And I mean, you know when you first get out of school, you have this I can change people's lives attitude and stuff. So I was like, if you have any problem, just feel 100% comfortable. You can tell me. Ah, I feel so good, you know. And then one day he comes to me and says, you remember when you told me if I had any problem, you can tell me? I was like, oh, man. I think it was the fish was going to bite. You know, I just threw the hook out there, right? He said, you know what? And this is my class, man, the class of the Iman. He's like, I love Haneen, man. When I see her, my tennis shoes shake. These are 9-year-old kids, man. He's like, man, I'm out on the recess, you know, I'm swinging, and she walks by. I'm like, hey, man, stop. Stop right there, dog. I'm counting my Pokemon cards, and suddenly I lose my count, you know. It's Haneen, right? I said, hey, look, man. First of all, drink a big glass of water, all right? So I said to him, okay, look. Then I went to my wife. I said to my wife, I said, hey, I don't know how to handle this one here. Because behind every good man is a good woman, right? So I went to my wife. All my fatwa come from my wife. So I went to my wife. I was like, hey, how should I handle this? She said, you know what you should do? Tell him it's normal to love someone, but how you express it. So that got me thinking, you know, how to talk to him. Then I went to him the next day. I said, okay, look. We was alone, and I had my try to get my sheikh profile, you know, my stick and stuff. I was like, okay, check it out. Are you sure you love Haneen? He's like, I'm telling you, I want to get married right now. I was like, phew. You 9 years old. He was like, Aisha was 9. I was like, sorry. Excuse me. Homeboy started hitting me with Dalil, man. I was like, I was like, all right. Hey, I ain't got no problem with all that, man. Okay, so check it out. I said, this is what we're going to do. Bring me the phone, and I'm going to call her daddy. And her dad is big, man. Big Bamiya eating Jordanian brother, man. Call him, and we're going to sit him right here, and I'm going to say, would like to marry your daughter. Are you interested? Man. That guy, Fulan Heather. Because I love this kid. This kid, you know how much he loves the Quran? He sent me an email. He's like, can you teach me on Pal Talk? Because I don't have a teacher now. He said, can you teach me on Pal Talk so I can finish memorizing the Quran? This kid is deep, man. So this kid, one time he woke up in the night and he was crying because he was a non-Muslim. His mom was non-Muslim. His dad was Muslim. And I said, why was you crying? He said, I can't thank Allah enough for being Muslim, man. He's only 8 years old, man. What about us? We didn't cry one time. He's an 8-year-old. So I said, I'm going to call her daddy. He's going to come and we're going to hook it up. And he said, you know what, Amu? I said, yes. I don't think I love her anymore. Go on out to recess. And lower your gaze. So, your parents and in the relationship, this brother here, the intimate feelings that he had are quite normal. Unfortunately, it was expressed in a wrong way. Maybe what he could have done is backed up off that lady, had another Muslim sister deal with her. Once she became Muslim, that would have been very noble, right? As soon as she becomes Muslim, he makes his intentions known and they get married. We hope that Allah will forgive them for their shortcoming. A lot of us would fall into this trap if we weren't careful. And we hope that they will have a blessed marriage. I think we need to bounce, man. It's like one more question. Nah. What are your responsibilities to helping a Muslim friend who is committing sins? Drinking, partying, etc. Okay. I have a lot of experience in, not Muslim friends, in drinking and partying. And what I would advise this person is the following. Somebody ask a question, we let the people go. You got to study, you got to do your exams. Just leave, man. Don't feel like the brother's going to be mad at me if I leave. Who am I? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't bother me at all. Okay. The person asked the question that they have a Muslim friend who drinks, parties, smokes blunts, chronic, everything in between. What should you do with this person? First of all, there's not really one answer for every human being. But one thing you should realize as a caller to Islam, because now you are a caller to Islam, as Sheikh Abdul Jalil used to tell me, that the caller to Islam is like someone who gives out prescription medicine. Someone who works in a pharmacy. If you work in a pharmacy, do you give the same medicine to every patient? You give different medicine to different people. Okay? But one thing that you can do in general for these people is the following. Remind them of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah did for them. Don't go up to them and say, Allah did this, Allah did that, Allah did this. Take them to the Berkeley Hills, man. Go to the Berkeley Hills, look at the nature, look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look around you, look at what you see. All right, man. Look at what you see. Turn off the lights. Remember the speech? Look at what you see around you, look at the nature. And I remember, I'll tell you a story. When I was a non-Muslim, I used to get high as a Tijuana Mexican, no offense. And subhanAllah, I used to do that, and then I would go to a school. No, I didn't mean the racial way. And I'd go to the school, and I would be, whew, you know what I'm saying? And I have Dre playing. I'd be looking at the stars. And I knew that Jesus didn't create the stars. And that's the first thing that would come to mind. And Jesus didn't make these stars. Then I start to ask myself, if I wasn't completely out of myself, who did this? Somebody did this. Somebody is the architect of this universe. Right? And that's how I started going towards Islam. And Allah mentioned in the Quran, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Let the people see nature. You know, I used to teach little kids, we took them and had them throw frisbees against the wind. That was our class. And people were like, this is not Islamic class, where's the stick? I said, okay, now, throw the frisbees against the wind, nothing happens. Throw it with the wind, it goes far. I said, this is what happens when you obey Allah. Because Allah's laws are natural. So you have to approach people in the right way. Their problem is not drinking and partying. Their problem is faith. You know, subhanAllah, Sheikh Tariq Swaydan, one time he took a group of sisters from Kuwait, secular sisters, on Hajj. None of them wore hijab, right? And when I mention hijab, I don't mean to make sisters who don't wear hijab nervous, so don't please be angry with me, right? SubhanAllah, Sheikh Tariq Swaydan, he took all these sisters to Hajj, man, and I'm happy that y'all are here. He took these sisters to Hajj, and subhanAllah, the brothers were like, Astaghfirullah, man! This man got no hijab on, dog! Astaghfirullah! Tell him to put on hijab! He said, no! This is Tariq Swaydan! Tariq Swaydan was the biggest sheikh now in the world. He's like, I'm not going to tell them about hijab. Dad's like, why not? He said, their problem ain't hijab, man. Something else. So he said, just leave me alone, right? Let me get funky with you. Just leave me alone. They left him alone. He brought out his laptop, you know. Sheikh, cool. Laptop and his projector, you know. And then he had this little CD. And he started showing quasars and galaxies and comets and stars and planets. And he was playing like Sultan Rahman. Abdul Basit. So it was playing, and he was like, you know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about Dukhan, and the universe came from Dukhan, and now what you've seen is that Dukhan. So man, by the end of the speech, wallahi, like six sisters said, now we're going to wear hijab for the rest of our life. He didn't say anything about hijab. Same with your friend. You got to go after the faith. You have to go into the faith. How can you increase people's faith? This is the question. One way to increase their faith is with logic. Like, for example, if you have a Muslim brother that's making zina, ask him, would you like someone to do that with your sister? No. So why are you doing it with someone's sister? Simple logic. A sister who smokes, would you let your little sister smoke? No. I tell you a story about the guy in my old city that used to sell beer and stuff at the store. I tell you guys a story. We have this guy right by my house, man. He used to sell more beer than a bar. Muslim brother. And I was with some brothers from Jamaat Tabligh, my boys. And we was hanging like 2 o'clock in the morning drinking tea, right? Saving the ummah. So we was going to save the ummah in the morning and drink our tea at night, right? So we saved the ummah later on, really. Because, you know, subhanAllah, Jamaat Tabligh get a bad rap, man. And people pound them, but these guys work hard. So we should respect them. You know, you see like this old cha-cha that come from Karachi? He bought his ticket with rupees. to come to America, man, that's a lot of money, man. You know, you might not agree with him, but you should at least respect him. So we was in a masjid drinking our dudpati, right? And they were like, man, you know this brother down the street? We need to work on him. So this one brother, he was cool from the hood, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was like, you know what we need to do? We need to go buy some beer from him. I was like, buy some beer from him? He said, man, buy some beer. You buy some porno magazines. Oh, the imam of the masjid. I don't know about no porno magazines, man. He said, no. Trust me, man. You buy the porno magazines? No, I'm sorry. You buy the 24-pack of beer because I was the biggest guy I could carry it. Then this other guy who just came from 4 months and went to Nizamuddin and Raiwand, he said, you buy the porno magazines. And this brother had like a Shell Walker meets with his tesbih, you know, and a kufi. And I had like this on, you know what I'm saying? And then my boy Abu Bakr, he was like, I'll buy the condoms. I was like, man, what is your plan? He said, just check it out. Just follow me, right? Just dig my groove, man. Don't worry. So I said, okay, I'm going to trust you. But hey, don't embarrass me, man. I got to give a khubah tomorrow, right? And I was still in university level too. So subhanAllah, we went in there, right? And it was a guy who was all alone. And we were all dressed like this. And one was like, my brother, even his tesbih was like, astaghfirullah. He was like, taking a porno magazine. Astaghfirullah. And the brother, he was saying I was trying not to look. You know, he's like, astaghfirullah. And then he got him up under his arm, you know. And then I went back there and he was like, Imam Saab, ab kaise hai? TK. I was like, alhamdulillah, what's up, you know. Then I got my big old 24 pack. He was like, ab kaise. Then Abu Bakr got all the condoms. Then, man, we put it all on the thing, man. And he started ringing it up, man. But he was like shaking. And then homeboy's like, astaghfirullah. And we dressed like this, man. You know, and he was like, wow. Then you guys should do this because you got a lot of brothers like this around here. Allah helped him. And so then one of the brothers, only from the hood, right, could say this. He said, hey, can I ask you a question? And we was trying not to laugh, too, you know. He was like, yes. He's like, are you surprised to see us buying such material? He's like, wallahi. He said, hey, I'm shocked. Then he said, and we are shocked to see you selling it. And how you feel when you see us buying it is how we feel when you sell it. Because you're a Muslim. And I can't stop crying, man. He said, I'm through. Like that, right? So the brother... Thank you very much. So the brother, I didn't have nothing to do with say talk beer for that brother, man. And then the guy started crying, and we found out he was a doctor. We're like, man, you a doctor selling beer? He's like, brother, times are hard. I was like, hey, man, it's going to be harder if you keep selling this beer. And he changed. So how the brothers dealt with him was not direct confrontation. Sometimes you have to be wise with people, you know? Like the Prophet, he used to use things to teach people. So with this person that got these problems, work with them in many ways. Logic. Work with them talking about, look at your life. Look at what's going on. And also talk to them about the love of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that you do this. It's too late. We got questions. We'll take them next week because I don't want you to have to stay too long. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.